Ladies and gentlemen, there's a certain level of sacrifice that it takes to be involved in this movement on the level that this show is and that many other people. Our next guest is, you talk about on the front lines. You want to talk about if this is infantry and you want to use a war analogy. Right there on the front lines, you're sending her into the fray, right there against the barbed wire. This is our next guest. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has tirelessly fought over the last, you know, I guess 15, 20 years, and it's just accelerated from her beginnings of seeing what was going on in the vaccine industry. She's a doctor of osteopathic medicine. She is the purveyor of Vaxxer.com, CoursesForMastery.com, the number four, CoursesForMastery.com, and she's our friend. She's my friend. I'm very happy to have her. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So have you pulled your hair out yet? I mean, what do you make of all this?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the biggest problem is that there's so many unknowns. There's just so many unknowns about the real virulence of this virus, about how many people have actually been tested. And if if they say the numbers are going up because people are being tested and they're positive, does that necessarily mean anything? I mean, people can be positive and not be sick. And so, you know, I've seen numbers that the 80 to 90% of people who contract the infection aren't even sick enough to go to the doctor. I've seen that, and what's the biggest take on this for me, Daniel, is that it is such a parallel to 2005 and the bird flu, and then 2009, the pandemic flu, and then H1N1, and then SARS. It just seems like they just pulled the same playbook out and started over and over again. But this is the first time that there's ever been such massive economic fallout from this quote-unquote pandemic. I mean, back in 2005, about the bird flu, I was writing a book on the bird flu in real time as it was happening, and they were talking about a 50% death rate from the H5N1 virus. It happened over and over again. They kept saying it. It's like the same thing that the CDC does in non-pandemic episodes. When they say the same thing over and over again, somehow they believe that that makes it true. And they were talking about the death rate from bird flu being 50%. But when you actually analyze the numbers and you actually pulled out data, particularly articles from the international community, what we found and what I actually wrote about was that there may be tens of thousands of people that have been infected with that virus but not even sick enough to go to the doctor. And then of the hundreds that went to the doctor, there was a smaller percentage of that ended up in the hospital, and even a smaller percentage of the hospitalized patients that ended up in intensive care. And that 50% death rate really only applied to the people who were in intensive care. And so, you know, you've gone from tens of thousands of people who are infected down to a couple of hundred people who maybe were in intensive care, and then a 50% death rate at that. But the media would make it sound like the 50% death rate was across the board, every single person who contracted the influenza virus at that time that was, they called it bird flu, which was H5N1. And to me, when I look at this whole thing through this lens, through that lens of bird flu, and then in 2009 of pandemic flu, H1N1, and through what happened with SARS, they tried to make a big deal about that. Then they tried to make a big deal about Zika, and then they found that as they started testing everybody for Zika, Zika had been around since the 1940s, and everyone had been exposed to that virus at some point in time, so the testing rate was positive on an exponentially increased number of people. And so that really wasn't going to fly, and they couldn't really make a valid connection between Zika and microcephaly that was happening in Brazil, which they were pushing so hard. And so this, I look at it through the same lens. Now, do I think this virus in some people who can actually contract the worst case scenario of it is a very aggressive type of virus? Could it be, you know, we've heard all about whether it's weaponized or not, whether there's multiple strains of it or not, that they're like cousins, that there's the Chinese strain, the Iranian strain, the Italian strain, and now whatever's happened here. We've heard about the weaponization of the virus and adding in extra genes. We've heard about the positive connection between the virus and 5G, and 5G either weakening the human immune system so it's more susceptible to the virus, and or does the 5G somehow also ramp up the infectivity of the virus? So there's so many unknowns, and this is happening so fast that the science, the research, the politics, police portion of it, all of that stuff is happening so fast that there's no way to sort it out. And I'm glad to have an opportunity to speak with you and your audience today on your show. Because I've been requested by many people to, like, please do a Facebook Live or please do an Instagram Live or something. But I feel like it's my responsibility to just sit back and wait. I mean, because there's so many unknowns, and to just throw in one more opinion piece does nothing for the general population, does nothing to sort anything out. I mean, it's like on a daily basis, we're on the magnum roller coaster, going down the fast side of the roller coaster that is happening so fast that we just went clunk, clunk, clunk up over the top, and then now we're going down the other side, and this is being closed down in these states and all non-essential businesses. Well, how do you define a non-essential business? I mean, if it was a non-essential business, would it be a business?
Yeah, how do you define it to the person who owns the business? They may have a different opinion.
And is providing the services for that business, you know?
And their livelihood.
I mean, is it because you're a dog groomer, or that you have a nail and pedicure salon, that's a non-essential business? Well, not to the people who would like to have those services, you know. And all the restaurants that are closed down, and the entertainment business, and now they're talking about travel, and they're threatening, you know, to shut down interstate travel, that you can't travel across state line. I heard last night they were talking about rationing gasoline. Then all of a sudden at 10 o'clock last night, you know, Governor Newsom shuts down California and 40 million people. And they're calling it a shutdown, but it's really a quarantine. And, you know, I suppose you could stretch it to say it's individualized state martial law, which then brings up the idea, isn't martial law a national thing? A national entity, and if you're going to do it in one place, it applies to everything else. I was listening to the press conference that Trump was doing with Secretary Pompeo. And one of the questions came up was, like, how are you getting all of the Americans home from various parts of the world, and what are you doing with them? And Pompeo says, well, that we're now getting flights in from Morocco, we're getting flights in from several different places because we're trying to get our American citizens home. Well, when you get them home, what do you do with them? Do they automatically get tested at an airport, and do they have to wait, you know, the 12 hours or 48 hours until the test comes back to find out if they're positive or not to be let into the country? He didn't really say. He said that we're going to get it all squared away. We're going to get everybody home.
Oh,
and that
okay.
was kind of like the answer.
Oh, okay.
You know, but yet, you know,
what
I have
would
a
you
friend
do?
A friend who's supposed to be flying in tomorrow home from St. Thomas. And Ooh. Flying into lots. Now, there's no cases down there, but they're flying into LAX. And if they fly into LAX, are they going to get screened at the airport? Do they have to sit at LAX of all places? I mean, one of the top five pit dive airports in the country. Pardon me if I step on any toes by saying that, but I travel a lot, and I've been in literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of airports, and LAX is definitely not one of my favorites. And so, you know, what's going to happen now? Those people who are friends of mine don't live in Los Angeles. They live in Orange County, so that's like an hour and a half away. Are they going to be allowed to rent a car or get a car or get an Uber and go home? I mean, you know, so there's all of these variables. And so when people say, what do you think, Dr. Tenpenny, where are we? Where are we with mandatory vaccination? Where are we with mass vaccination? Where are we with the development of this vaccine? Well, the development, everybody of authority has said it's 12 to 18 months, but they're trying to fast track it. If they fast track it, that means that it could be labeled as a covered countermeasure, which means it doesn't have to have any animal testing. It doesn't have to have stage 1, 2, or 3 testing. We can just say, yeah, it's safe enough on a small population of people. We release it onto the market with zero liability and 100% protection of the pharmaceutical industry. So I think that the media is training people to beg them for this vaccine. I think that's, you know, everybody's like, it's going to be the same hullabaloo, Daniel, as what happened when they released the polio vaccine in the 1950s. They had all of these people just terrorized, and then suddenly they released the polio vaccine that caused all kinds of paralysis in the first rounds. And I think that there's so many unknowns and so many variables and so many things happening so fast. It's if anybody thinks they have the answer and they have it sorted out, it's just not true.
All right, you just talked about fast-tracking vaccines. We definitely want to get to that and to get to the Supreme Court case from 1905. I definitely want to go there. But let's go back to something you said. I'm going to ask the question. I don't even know if you can answer this, but I'll throw it out there, and we'll see where it goes. You mentioned looking at this virus with the same lens as some of these other things. You mentioned 2005, 2009, H1N1, H5. When you say the same lens, I'm not getting confidence from you in the way those were handled. So if I'm looking at that, those situations, and you lack confidence in the way they handled them then, the hype they put around them then, are you lacking confidence now? I'm not putting words in your mouth. I mean, should we have confidence now? I mean, how should we make sense of that?
Oh, I'm not sure I would use the same language that you used when you say not having confidence in how they handled it. I mean, it was a much more pervasive virus. It was spread all around the H5N1, the bird flu, was all over the world. It actually started in Southeast Asia, where this one they claim started in China. That actually started in Southeast Asia. When I wrote the bird flu book, which is out of print right now because our publisher went out of business, and they had all of our original documents, but that's a different story. So if people are wondering where they can get that book, they can't. I think we may have 20 or 30 copies in our office, but that's about it. It was all over the world. They thought it was spreading by ducks, like all over as ducks and migratory birds traveled. They thought it was being spread along those routes. I found that in Southeast Asia, where it started, that there was a direct connection between pollution and specifically dioxin, between the activation of that H5N1 virus. And I found an article that said that if a garden variety influenza virus was exposed to one part per trillion of dioxin, it would turn it into a very virulent, aggressive type of virus.
Ooh.
Well, we know that, you know, Wuhan, if you've seen any of the pictures of the horrible pollution and everything in the rivers and the waterways and everything in Wuhan. So if you took just garden variety coronavirus, because we know that the virus, there are seven different substrains of the coronavirus that's been out in circulation since the 1960s. I mean, that's directly from the CDC website that breaks down into those just normal coronaviruses that have been around for a long time that are kind of a cousin to the influenza viruses. So maybe, and this is just a theory, but it could have just be a garden variety coronavirus that got exposed to a combination of unbelievable filth and garbage and toxicities in the waterways in Wuhan, and then, you know, slap on a little 5G and a little bit of EMF frequencies, weaken the immune system of the people that are there with the 3,000 5G towers that got turned on, and now we've got this mass hysteria going on all over the world, even though there have been so few deaths, and that more than 82% of people who contract the illness from the virus recover uneventfully.
Well, you went right into my next question. We're hearing news out of China. We're hearing news out of Italy. Now, corporate media tells us one thing. The alternative media, you know, supposedly these bootleg videos of China or Italy. I don't know what to make of all that. Do you have any sense?
Which is the exact what I just said, Daniel, because there's so much misinformation. And
yes.
I'm not even sure that it's misinformation as it is disconnected information. I mean, if you have 10 dots, are we forcing the connection? If you take 10 spots, you have a cork board and you put 10, pins on the cork board. And are they connected or not? Are we forcing a connection between dot number 1379 and the rest of them don't really relate? Because we don't know. And we don't know. I mean, and everybody these days is a citizen journalist, right? Everybody with a phone and a camera can be taking videos of whatever. And does it apply or not. And that's what makes this so confusing and why I think so many people are nervous and worried, because they're not getting straight answers from anybody, and I'm not totally sure that that's anybody's fault.
Here, I had this discussion with my cousin all the time. My cousin calls. She's a small business owner. She's going, you know, all these things that you're talking about, she's experiencing. So non-essential business, well, to her, it's pretty darn essential. But anyway, that's another story. Here's what I tell her. We're being lied about something. And what I mean about that is, and this is obvious, if this virus is as serious as they're portraying it, then they're not telling us because we're not seeing the deaths. And if it isn't, then this is something else then entirely. So it's either one or the other. They're lying to us, because for 400 deaths, or what is it in America now? 104. I don't even know what the number is this morning. 140, 200 deaths in this country. You're shutting the country down. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. So you're not telling us something. There is something you're not telling us. That's the way I see it.
There's a website that I've got a graphic to, that it's called informationisbeautiful.net, and then there's visualizations, and it's an infographic. It was last updated yesterday, so this is current information. It says that 80.9%, so let's say 81% of infections are mild, which are flu-like and stay home. 14% are hospitalized, and of that 14%, 5% end up in intensive care. So, as they start testing more and more and more people, one of the things that they're definitely not telling us is what's the N, the number of people that are tested, and the number of people that are negative versus the number of people that are positive. The only thing that gets spewed out by the news is the positivity. Oh, Congress has now been tested positive, or this person, or this Hollywood person has been tested positive. So? And are these tests specific enough? And this is another thing. They say they are, but I've heard conflicting information about this from virologists, from labs. We've talked to people at, like, LabCorp that give us a different information than Quest. You know, like, are these screening tests sensitive enough to only be screening for the COVID-19 supposed biological weapon virus? Are they? Is it sensitive enough to screen it out so that we know which strain it is without subtyping it and putting it through PCR testing and taking it 24 to 48 hours? Nobody seems to know. I mean, somebody probably knows, but there's conflicting information about that truth. Are we looking at the Italian strain, the Iranian strain, the Chinese
strain? Has it
strain?
Mutated?
Is there another strain?
Has it mutated?
If you looked at those phylogeny graphs, they say that this virus is mutating faster than the average bear. When you look at, because they make these little running graphs on how the genetics change, has it mutated? It's like we don't really know, but yet at the same time, we're so confident that we know that we're
going to
shut down 30% of the entire global economic supply chain.
They know so much that they can tell how many times it's mutated, but they still can't invent a test. We can't have a mass test here. They can test in South Korea, but they can't test here. I'll tell you what makes me, gets me, you know, whatever. I'm gonna keep my religion here, but I'll tell you what gets me really upset about this. And if this is so serious, those people coming in a plane from a foreign country, there is no way on God's green earth, if it's that serious, that I let anybody from any of those areas land in this country without being tested and quarantined first. Period. If it's that serious, if it's so serious that we're shutting down the world and shutting down our economy, nobody from those countries comes and lands on our soil without being tested and quarantined. Nobody.
And talk about, there was, you know, way back in 2005, which this again had to do with the bird flu, the CDC came up with it was called the 7-step recipe to sell to the American public a pandemic or something to be hyped up about. And one of the steps of the 7 steps, and we go to the break, I can pull up the whole 7 steps if you want, we can talk about
it. What is this from? Is this their own literature? This is their own, what do you mean?
This is the CDC's plan. It's the 7-step recipe for marketing. And one of the steps is to use the word deadly over and over and over again to impregnate it and to talk about it as much as possible. Now, on this graphic that I just mentioned, and I just clipped it over to you, this was, I don't know what the exact time frame is on this source. It says total Google News hits. And I don't know what the time frame is on it, but when it talks about Ebola, it was 16 million. SARS, it was 66 million. HIV is 69 million. And as short a term as we've had this COVID-19, it's 2.1 billion media mentions already. 2.1 billion. Every single newsletter, every single thing that comes into my inbox from a private person, from a private company, from an email, from anything is all about this virus. Hysteria, 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 hysteria. And then in that same graphic, this was updated on March the 16th, 2020, it looks at infectious rates of different types of pathogens around the world. The average disease death rates per day worldwide. Number one is tuberculosis at about 3,000, then hepatitis B, and then it goes on and on and on. Season flu, measles, rabies, we're down to COVID-19, 144.
144, so people, they drowned
in the
river.
That's the average death rate per day.
More.
Right, the average death rate worldwide. I mean, measles is more, cholera, whooping cough, swine flu, seasonal flu, rotavirus, shigellosis, malaria, HIV, AIDS, pneumonia, hepatitis B, tuberculosis are all exponentially greater number of deaths per day worldwide than this COVID-19. But we will shut down the entire world economy. We will put millions of people out of work, maybe permanently. We will shut down small businesses that live, baby, cash is king, and it's day to day to day, just enough of money in, money out to keep their businesses afloat. All the little coffee shops, the donut shops, the independent hairdressers, the places like that, the government says stay home.
There's
for 3 weeks, and I got a notification yesterday. They might be lasting this for 18 months.
There's the music. This may turn out to be the worst thing ever, but that's my point. I think that's Sherry's Tenpenny's point. Then if they know that, at this point, then why are they letting planes land with people from China or Iran and Italy and not testing them? That's my point. They're lying to us about something. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made good for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Got me a little, ladies and gentlemen. you're probably on, well, we're live. You're probably on edge too a little bit. There's a lot to be processing right now. And I want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. That's what we want. It's all about the truth. And what is the truth? That you're endowed by your Creator with certain unalienable rights, and the exercise of these and the dominion that you have been given is the most important thing there is. Your life on this earth, it is not as important as the Bill of Rights, is not as important as the Declaration of Independence, and a virus certainly is not as important as those things either. So be aware of those as we go forward. Who you are is the battle. And they're trying to change that and trying to get you off your moorings all the time. Just remember that. They. You know who I'm talking about when I say they. Anybody who wants to violate the Bill of Rights and take your dominion. That's who we're talking about. ThePowerMall.com is a great place. Dr. Sherry Rogers. Sherry's are wild today, by the way, Dr. Tenpenny. We had Sherry Rogers earlier. She talked about specifically the virus, how it works, how it gets into the ACE and the ACE receptors and what you need to do, the cell membranes to protect yourself and the vitamin D, the selenium, the magnesium, the zinc. The phosphatidylcholine, the cod liver oil, all these things, critically important right now. In 1 month, you can really get a good head start and change your body. 1 month, get rid of the 7 M's and then start to change your cell membrane with the vitamin E, all those things. You can make a difference in your health really quick. In about a month, you can make a real dent in your direction. That's what we have seen over and over again. So, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Support the good guys, will you please? I don't know where we're going with this. Please be prepared. From what Dr. Tenpenny said, it sounds like, you know, who knows, these shutdowns are starting in California. They may go. I've been told that that's what's coming. I told you that, ladies and gentlemen. My friend told me, about 72 hours after he told me, well, he was wrong. It was 96 hours and California started. So he's off by 24 hours. So the accurate information has been pretty accurate up until this point. And I just want you to be safe and happy and protected during this time. I do not know what this is. I can certainly see footprints of what this is being used for. And I think you can too. So Be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. And we work pretty isolated, so we're not shutting down no matter what. So we're able to isolate what we're doing, and so we should be able to at least have some semblance of what's going on no matter what. At least let's hope so. Keep our fingers crossed. Getting back to our next guest, who is one of our favorites, one of your favorites. I got the chance to be with her in Houston with this meeting that we had now about a month, almost a month ago, and really spent some quality time with her, had lunch with her, dinner with her. What a fun lady, what a fun person to be around. I mean, people, they only see, like, not militant, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean? They see the Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny vaccine, you know, superhero, vaccine freedom superhero, medical freedom superhero, but Sherry Tenpenny, the person, is just as cool, even cooler. And so I'm really glad to be able to spend some time with you down there in Houston. Maybe before we go further, what were your impressions of the meeting? You know, what were your expectations and kind of, you know, what you got out of that meeting, Dr. Tenpenny?
Well, I thought it was just a really great convocation of people who are awake and aware and really see the bigger global picture of what's going on here, and knowing that we're fighting powers and principalities, and that's, you know, of in the spiritual realm for the longevity of humanity. And I think that the people that were there are pretty much movers and shakers in that realm, and understand that time is short, and if not now, when? And if not me, who? You know, we just need to step up to the plate and not be cowering in our living room, but understanding that on a day-by-day basis, they're taking away our rights to everything. And if we don't take steps now, then they're going to be gone and we're not going to get them back.
I think the most profound moment, at least for me, other than meeting everybody and getting this, you know them a little better, was when Sheriff Mack stood up and said, we don't need to identify enemy. Our enemy is anybody who's violating the Bill of Rights. To me, that, I don't know what you felt, but that moment, it clicked in me and was such a profound moment.
I agree. And I really agree with the whole idea of being able to mobilize constitutionally based sheriffs and to take back our power at the local level.
We can see that Washington is a cesspool to drain the swamp. I mean, it's a big swamp. But locally, everything's a lot more separated. Our founding fathers understood this. That's why government is so separated. The chief law enforcement officer, if we're going to use those terms, of anybody's county is their sheriff. The president of the United States does not have as much authority legally in that county as your sheriff does. And we have seen, there's, you know, since I've been involved with this, I've talked to several sheriffs who are in office right now who are very constitutional, have had Sheriff's Max training. We even had some things, you know, I'm very, not disheartened, I'm just, I don't know what the word is. I'm just kind of a little, you know, it's like when you were a kid and for Christmas, oh, please let me get a bike. Please let me get a bike for Christmas. And then Christmas comes and you get a sweater and socks. You know, that's how I feel. Because, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, sure, this is great. Because some things were going, and now it looks like, you know, Texas, we had a big thing going. We had a huge opportunity in Virginia with the sheriffs there. And I mean, it's kind of up in the air right now. And I'm just not disheartened, but, you know, I didn't get the bike. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what else to say. But we haven't stopped on this, but just things are kind of, you know, I mean, the whole world is kind of pausing for a moment to kind of make sense of this. And I'm no different, me personally. Anyway, it was great to see you there personally, Dr. Tenpenny. And people always want to know, you know, what are our guests like? What are people like? Are they really like? Dr. Tenpenny is cool, is really fun to be around, and I really enjoyed having time with her. So that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dr. Tenpenny. Let's get into something you said about fast-tracking vaccines. I didn't realize this. You told me this actually at this meeting, and my jaw about hit the floor. Explain more about that and what that means.
Well, back in 2005, again, you know, my reference is SARS, which was 2002, and bird flu, which was happening in 2005. And I just want to mention something we talked about a little bit before the break. It was this this media plan that was put together by the CDC, and the title of this plan, and you can still find it out on the internet, but I have it in my documents. The title is a media plan that's called the 7-step recipe for generating interest in and demand for flu or any other vaccine, engineered to guarantee the economic success of each season's flu vaccine production line.
Hold on. That's what it says on the top of this I mean, that's what they wrote?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what they wrote.
Wow.
The program is designed to methodically manipulate the general public through the use of major media, news wires, and television into believing that the flu vaccine is absolutely necessary for avoidance of the flu.
Stop. This is what they said in their document? They're manipulating the public?
Yes. I mean, listen to what the 7 steps are.
Okay.
This is by this guy by the name of Glenn Nowak. It was written in 2004 to 2005, but it pertains now. And if you take out the word influenza, an influenza vaccine, and put in SARS, put in H1N1, put in COVID-19, it's exactly the same. And that's why I'm not too upset about all of this. This is a repeat of the playbook. And this is the playbook. This is the summary of Novak's 7-step recipe, and that's the exact name for it, the 7-step recipe, released should be little in doubt how intensively the media is used to drive demand. Step number one, start discussing the flu vaccine at the beginning of immunization season. Step number two, media outlets are to make pronouncements of the new strain anticipated to be serious and have the most severe illness. Step number three, media is to invite local and national medical experts and public health authorities on guests to, quote, state concern and alarm and predicting dire outcomes from this year's influenza strain. Think about Anthony Fauci being all over the news right now about COVID-19.
Don't get me started on
him. Step number four, reports by experts will be used to, quote, frame the flu season in terms that will motivate behavior. Recommend language to be used that includes very severe, more severe than in past, and deadly. Phrases should include, quote, this is the worst flu season ever, and the flu kills 36,000 people per year. That we know is a wrong number. It's really only about 700. And the flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu. Step number five, the media is urged to report that influenza is causing, quote, severe illness, affecting lots of people, and people will die. The intent is to, quote, foster perception that this is serious without the vaccine. Step number six, the media is given explicit instructions, use pictures of people getting shots, their families that are lining up and are willing to tell their story about their illness. The intent is to, quote, first to motivate, the latter to reinforce the necessity of getting a vaccine. Step number seven, to drive the message home, television anchors are to make references to pandemic influenza and continually reinforce the importance of vaccination. And didn't we just say before the break that of all the different types of things that they have mentioned in the past, on the news, like between Ebola and influenza and SARS, and HIV, 69 million mentions in the 6 weeks that COVID-19 has been in the news, 2.1 billion mentions. Every single television show you turn on is all about this. Everything, it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox, hour after hour after hour. This is all they talk about. And it comes right out of that 7-step recipe created by the CDC in 2004 to drive home the necessity of vaccination, and that now they're creating a vaccine to fast-track it. And if they fast-track a vaccine, there was a bill that was passed into law in 2005 called the PREP Act. And the PREP Act says that if a pill, a liquid, a technology, or a vaccine is fast-tracked due to necessity of need of a pandemic or other urgent nature, that fast tracking, they do not have to put it through the normal testing procedures in order to prove that it's safe. No animal studies, no stage one, two, or three. They'll do a very small cohort study. And if they develop an antibody and they don't immediately die, they'll say that it's effective and safe, and then they'll release it on the public, and then when they find out the horrible side effects that they give to everybody because it's a covered countermeasure, they have zero liability protection. You can't even file a claim through the Federal Court of Claims called the Vaccine Court to try to get compensation. You would have to take a collection of you that got seriously injured or died. Your families would have to represent you, of course, and go to the U.S. Attorney General and convince the Attorney General that the vaccine manufacturer made a product specifically to kill you. Now, that little piece of bill, which is like 23 pages long, was tacked on in 2004, on the tail end in December of 2004, on a defense appropriation bill that gave the pharmaceutical industry complete carte blanche protection for anything they want to make during a national or an international emergency, which is here we are. So they're conditioning people to believe that they have to have this vaccine, and once the vaccine is there, we can stop all of this stuff. You hear it over and over and over by the pro-vaccine experts that they haul out on their television stations. And they're conditioning people at a subconscious level, at a subliminal level, to want and beg for this vaccine.
For those people who are hearing this be like, oh, because conspiracy theories, blah, 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 blah. We had Patrick Wood on a couple of days ago, Sherry, and,
who?
You know, he's been, Patrick Wood, the research about technocracy and,
Yep.
And when you study his work or people like his work and you see the long chain of events and you put this into context, then this is not out of the realm. So if you're a new listener and you just heard that and you're like, what? Wow, this is crazy. Well, you know what's crazy is to not start to put these things together once you start to get a little perspective. And let me tell you what. One of the things that went and got me crazy about subliminal messaging, about entering into our public consciousness. I was, I don't know how, 20 years old. I don't know, somewhere around there. My friend said, hey, have you seen these subliminal messages in these Disney movies? And I thought, no, what in the world are you, what are you, crazy? And this was in VCRs. There wasn't even DVDs. It was VCRs. And he said, here, come here, look at this. He put this VCR in about this Disney show and go frame by frame. And there's all these sexual subliminal messages in here in the Disney movie. And I just was aghast. I didn't know what to say. I was aghast right there. Do you think they're doing that? Do you think if corporate interests who maybe want your dominion, maybe want to violate your rights so that they can get more power, more control, you don't think that they'll resort to something like this? She's reading from their document about how to manipulate your perception of vaccines. That's a playbook of how to manipulate your perception about vaccines. Anyway, you mentioned about flu, that we're told 36,000 people died, but the number is really less than 1,000. Please explain that real quick.
Well, the real people who had those numbers of how we flushed this out several years ago now, because they kept saying that over and over and over again, right? Here, oh, 36, it's 36,000 deaths per year. It's like, really? So over the last 10 years, 360,000 people have died? I mean, how many, does anybody in this room know anybody that's died of the flu?
Yeah,
you know,
question.
And not to make light, because yes, there certainly are people that die, but it's the very young and the very old. And the people who actually had those numbers that we actually tracked it down was the American Lung Association. And the American Lung Association documents that track per age group, like less than 3 months, 3 months to 1 year, 1 year to 5 years, all the way up into people into their 80s and 90s, and there would be this double bell curve, you know, high at the less than 3 months and high at the over 80 of people that died but of influenza. But the vast majority of people who would die died of complications of influenza like pneumonia, or people that had COPD and died of respiratory failure. They didn't die of an influenza infection. And so those numbers, and John Rappaport and I worked on that for a while, and independently, because I shared documents with him and he shared documents with me, and we wrote things up that, and independently, but had the same conclusion, that this is just media propaganda of trying to terrorize people into, if you get the flu, you will get worst case scenario flu, and you will die.
Now,
and I want to go back to this PREP Act, because the PREP Act stands for Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It came off of, it was actually passed, I misspoke and I said 2004. It was actually December of 2005 and was signed into law in January of 2006. And so here are just a couple of things out of that. The legislation provides four sweeping provisions, and I'm going to read just the main part of it. Immunity from liability for all drugs, vaccines, or biological products deemed to be a covered countermeasure in the event of an outbreak of any kind. Number two, immunity of any product used for any public health emergency declared by the Secretary of HHS. Number three, immunity from accountability no matter what the drug company did wrong, even if the company's dirty facility created a batch of contaminated vaccines that resulted in death or injury of thousands of people, the drug company would remain immune from liability. Number four, immunity from lawsuits. A person who suffers any type of loss will be legally prohibited from suing the drug companies, which now have immunity from almost everything, perhaps even murder. The bill provisions provide a mechanism for filing a lawsuit, and according to the American Trial Lawyers Association, the language for this proposal had never been submitted before, that a claim would have to be filed by the plaintiff's attorneys to prove that the company performed an act of willful misconduct, which means that they absolutely intended to kill you. And even if a pharmaceutical company knowingly harms people, the company will be immune from legal prosecution unless the U.S. Attorney General initiates enforcement actions against the drug company in the name of the claimant. This means the U.S. government would have to go to bat for the claimant against the drug company in lawsuits to move forward. When is that ever going to happen?
Oh my God.
That law has been on the books since 2006, people. They've been waiting for something like this to happen.
We have 5 minutes, and I have to go here. Obviously, people are really concerned about, well, I can see a scenario where forced vaccinations, you can't travel unless you got your little badge, you know, your papers, please. Give me your papers, please. We can see that kind of scenario, right? Talk about Jacobson versus Massachusetts from 1905, I believe, in the Supreme Court, and we're still almost living under that false pretense. Explain that whole thing and what might be possible or what the environment is around that discussion.
Well, the reason that we are where we are with forced vaccination is because back in Jacobson versus Massachusetts in 1905, that was the only vaccine that was used during that period of time was the smallpox vaccine. And if you wanted to refuse a smallpox vaccine, you had to pay a fine of $5, which in 1905 money was quite a bit of money. You know, let's say it was a $1,000 equivalent. I just made that number up, but let's just use it for the sake of discussion. And so Mr. Jacobson, who had had a serious, he and his son had had a reaction to the smallpox vaccine, wanted to refuse it, and he was being charged with a fine. The fine wound its way all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they said no, that the rights of the individual need to be subjugated to the good of the whole for the sake of community health and public health. And so, roll forward 115 years later, that's still the decision that the pharmaceutical industry stands on, that your rights as an individual mean nothing compared to the rights of the general good and the general welfare of public health.
Well, that's social justice. That's what social justice is. That's the definition they use. And that is vague, vaguer than vague. I mean, you thought that PREP Act was vague. What you just said is vague. The rights of the individual secondary to the good of the health of the community. Well, that could be anything. Where do you draw the line? Where do you define these things? Where's the proof that this is, where do you think this is going? I'm asking you to use your tea leaves here, but as far as vaccines and those kind of things, what worries you?
What worries me is mandates. What worries me is covered countermeasures, fast-tracked, products and drugs and biologics and vaccines that have, I mean, we already know, Daniel, that the research and the science that stands behind what's coming through that needle in a vaccine is already so bad. It's why we're winning. Why we were winning, because what I have been digging out for almost 20 years, what Dell's Big Tree's been doing in terms of broadcast, what you've been doing in terms of broadcast, what Robert Scott Bell has been doing in terms of broadcasting, what Bobby Kennedy has brought in terms of legal cases. We were so winning because the science is on our side. The proof is on our side. The only thing they had left to throw at us was character assassination, name-calling, mudslinging, and, oh, by the way, let's just make it mandatory. Then they have nothing to say about it. Then they can't fight us if they want to have their driver's license or their passport, or they want to be able to leave their house after we've quarantined them. Those little plebeians out there, they think they're going to tell us what to do with our vaccines. Well, just watch this.
I think,
and that's my tea leaves. So winning, and we were getting so many people to say no, that the heavy hand of the pharmaceutical, the pharmacia, and the social justice of this whole thing has just come down like a lead thud, boom.
Well, I think that this whole fight, it's even more than the vaccines. You see in Hong Kong, they don't want to get taken over by China. You see the Second Amendment situation with the sheriffs in Virginia. I mean, all over the world, people are like, wait a minute, I can live my life. I don't like this. I don't like globalism. I don't like any of this. And certainly this reeks of it when you're talking about medical tyranny. The only thing that can overcome that is to get people so off their moorings. See, that tells me that this disease is going to get really bad if they really want to transform perception in society. For their plans to work, for their manipulation to work, this is going to have to get really bad. And then people will just be like, I'll do anything.
Well, I think that's where they can put where the economic screws come into play. People are going to lose their house. They don't have food. You know, if this goes on, like Becker Health said yesterday, this could go on for 18 months. At 18 months, they'll have the vaccine developed. Then what?
Well, there's the music. Last thought is yours, about 10, 15 seconds, Dr. Tenpenny. Tell us where we can find you.
Go to coursesformastery.com, coursesmastery.com, and you'll see all of the 6 or 7 internet properties and all the different businesses that we have there. It's the best place to find me.
She is one of the greatest research minds, collectors, and just fervent, like she devours research on this. You want to know somebody who knows something about a research or a study? This is the woman. That's why people attack her all over the country and all over the internet, because she is who she is. Very proud to have you on, Dr. Tenpenny. God bless you. God keep you, and I declare safe and happiness and success for you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. Have a great weekend. Hug your family. Stay close. And we'll see you at the beginning of next week. Crypto Jay is going to be there. I know people got a lot of questions. He's going to come on Monday, so make sure you listen.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 soaps, Vitamir, Numana food storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now.